Well, happy Thursday. It is a pretty day, isn't it? A little bit of dryness in the air, that just advance bit of fall coming our way, and sun is shining, and it's really, really pretty day. Hey, welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Tom Flanagan. Thanks so much for being at the other end of the radio waves, the telephone lines, and the many ways we have to communicate electronically nowadays. 414-1234 is the local number. It's 800-926-8809. If long distance twixt you and us, perspectives at WFSU.org is the email address, or send us a tweet at WFSU Perspective. Well, folks who have been around Tallahassee for a while may recall, possibly, maybe, conceivably, all the controversy that erupted around the campaign for a performing arts center a few years back. Remember that? And those opposing it, in many instances, called the plan a monumental waste of taxpayer money, and they were very upset about it. And there was a similar, although maybe a little bit less intense, debate over having an amphitheater at Cascades Park when that project came up. However, that has kind of simmered down considerably since the events taking place at that facility now attract many thousands of people. That's giving the lie to the folks who said no one would ever go there and it would be a huge bust. Now, those who support the arts in this community have long argued that those activities provide an economic boost to the area. And now there are some hard numbers to back up that assertion. That's essentially what we're going to be talking about here on Perspectives. But I also wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about your experience with the arts in our community, for good or ill, and to weigh in on that discussion. So please be thinking of those things and give us a call to add to the conversation here. But first, let's meet the panel. And these folks, if you have been following this program for any length of time, are all familiar to you. We'll say hi first to Kevin Carr, Grants and Strategic Partnership Manager for COCA, the Council of Culture and the Arts. Good to see you, Kevin.
Hey, Tom. Happy to be here. Thanks.
It is wonderful to have you back. We also say hello once again to Carrie Post, Director of the Leon County Department of Tourism, or more sexily, Visit Tallahassee.
That's right. Well, thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
Wonderful to see you too, Carrie. And we say hi again to Al Latimer, Director of the Tallahassee Leon County Office of Economic Vitality. Hey, Al.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks. Glad to be here.
And joining us by phone, Bob Lynch, President and CEO of Americans for the Arts, who actually did the heavy lifting on this particular study. And Bob, if I can ask you, give us a kind of top line of what you found when you delved into the impact of the arts economically on the Tallahassee-Leon County area. What did you find?
Well, Tom, first of all, thank you for being part of this show. I really appreciate it. And I'll give you the overview of the national study first. And it's great to be on with Kevin. And I can go into the local study, but Kevin may want to talk a little bit about that first. But on the national level, we took a look at 341 communities across America, which is a huge sample group in all 50 states. And these are communities that ranged in population from very small, 1,500, to 4 million, and included rural, suburban, and urban areas. So it's a very comprehensive study. Researchers, and Tom was, Kevin was one of these locally, went out and talked locally a piece of 14,439 arts and cultural organizations across the country. So it's a huge sample group. And then in addition, we did audience intercepts with 212,691 audience members as they came out. So a massive sample group. And we gave all of that information to economists from Georgia Institute of Technology, and they customized a very conservative input-output analysis model for each study region, looking at different economic measures, jobs, resident household income, revenue back to government, state and local, through taxes and fees. And with all of that, what we discovered was that the economic impact nationally is $166.3 billion, really a stunning figure, bigger than most people would realize. And we took a look at that, and we saw that that spending, which is both from organizations and those audiences that I talked about, generated 4.6 million full-time equivalent jobs. And again, 4.6 million full-time equivalent jobs is a bigger generation than the number of police officers in America, number of lawyers, farming, fishing, and forestry, firefighters, computer programmers. So for context, not only are the figures big, but they are very, very big comparatively to other sectors. And that's not something that people and decision makers and legislators often think of. And then the final thing is that we took a look at this and saw that $27.5 billion is coming back, that's billion dollars, is coming back in government revenue through taxes and fees at the federal, at the state, and the local levels. So we're pretty excited about what this actually says, and we're trying to get decision makers to focus on jobs and economic impact of the arts, because it is the number one thing that we hear from local officials, elected officials, state elected officials, and federal elected officials as to what it is that they are interested in helping in America. So when we can show that not only are the arts wonderful and joyful and meaningful on their own in people's lives, but they also have an economic impact, a jobs impact, which is the number one concern of these elected officials, then we have a powerful story that justifies the investment that you talked about at the very beginning here, that answers the questions of a debate about the value of the arts and public investment in the arts.
Certainly impressive results there, Bob, and thank you for giving us that bottom line, or top line, as the case may be, national viewpoint of the impact of the arts. Before I throw it over to Kevin here for a look at our local arts situation and what he found out as part of this, a very critical piece of that puzzle, though, would be multiplier. For instance, for every tax dollar or public dollar that is invested into the arts, is there a multiplier effect that you found nationally?
Well, that's a bit of a different kind of study. You know, our study itself is not what they call a multiplier study. It's this input-output analysis study, which is, as I said, very conservative. It only measures the actual expenditures of the arts organizations and the actual expenditures of the individuals who come to an arts organization for an event. So what what we see there is that when somebody actually comes to an event, you know, they've already paid their ticket and they're there at the event, they're spending an additional $31.47 per person, multiplied, you know, by thousands across the country, on things like meals or transportation or gifts and souvenirs and so on. But taking away from our study, we know that the federal investment, for example, when a dollar at the federal level goes out from, like, the National Endowment for the Arts, it is matched at least by 9 to 1 by additional investment by local government or private sources. So you see a huge multiplier impact in that kind of a look at how the fiscal situation for the arts works.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Lynch. Kevin Carr, as far as our local economic impact of the arts is concerned, a lot of the stuff seemed to track what Bob was talking about on the national level, but in some areas, Tallahassee-Leon County actually exceeded that impact.
Yeah, if you look at the median numbers that were determined from this study, we realized that, you know, Tallahassee is doing really well in terms of arts participation and our support for the arts in our community. We have a very vibrant arts community. This study, we did research into all of our arts and cultural nonprofits, and we determined that Tallahassee-Leon County has 274 arts-related nonprofits, and that's a lot more than I knew of and thought when I started the study. We determined that arts spending by audience, we had for attendance, we had over 2.3 million in 2015 for residents and an additional nearly a half a million in non-residents attending arts-related events during the course of the study. So participation is significant when you look at it collectively. And then what we did was we spent an entire year not only looking at the expenditures of the organizations themselves, but also going to these arts events. So we went to symphony concerts, ballet performances, musical theater, every kind of cultural event in our community. And we talked to our audiences. And we tried to, based on the Americans for the Arts survey instrument that they created, we tried to determine, you know, how much our community is spending on the arts to show what that impact is. And we spent an entire year doing this. We had over almost 300 individual surveys completed. And what we determined was that when you look at the spending from the organizations themselves in the community and also the spending of arts audiences in the community, it's a very sizable impact of over $201 million. And that was just for one fiscal year. Now, in Tallahassee, there's also a significant impact on jobs. The study determined that for our county, over 7,000 full-time equivalent jobs are produced and supported through the arts economy. And in terms of spending, we also learned that Tallahassee residents on average, spend about $30 in addition to their ticket costs for an arts-related event. So that could be anything from dinner before the show, drinks after the show, maybe a souvenir or something like that. And our non-residents come in, many of them staying in hotels or staying with, for longer visits. They spend much more per event. We determined that non-residents are spending nearly $70 per attendee. So we know from this study that the arts are an economic driver in our community and in our county, and they do make a big impact on our local economy.
And in case you're just joining us on Perspectives, that's exactly what we're talking about, the economic impact of the arts on the Capital Region. And our expert panel consists of folks like Kevin Carr from COCA and Al Latimer, director of the Tallahassee-Leon County Office of Economic Vitality, Carrie Post from Visit Tallahassee, and on the phone with us from the Americans for the Arts is Bob Lynch, who gave us the survey instrument that we're talking about today. Want to hear from you, too. 414-1234, the local number, 800-926-8809, if it is long distance, and we'll be right back with you right here on Perspectives. We are back on Perspectives, talking about the economic impact of the arts in our area. Now, some hard numbers that have been generated by a study which was put together by COCA, the Council of Culture and the Arts, using an instrument which was provided by the Americans for the Arts, and we'll talk a little bit about that too. 414-1234, again, our local number, 800-926-8809. Let's go to Paul first here before we get up with Carrie and Al about this here. Go ahead, Paul. Welcome to Perspectives.
In regard to Cascade Park, since you mentioned that coming into this program, it has a very deep history with the Native Americans. It is about as sacred as the Mecca is to Muslims or Jerusalem is to, Jews and Christians. And a lot of local artists and activists tried to get a plaque made to describe really, you know, why that place was originally polluted, what's the history of it. In the early 80s, I talked to a 100-year-old man that was telling me that Indian Head Acres is where the Indians were out there protesting and playing drums. And this kind of thing happened with Andrew Jackson and the parade. And there's a lot of people in our local government that quiets all this stuff down because it's embarrassing. And I wish they would take it a step further and work with local people. Deborah Desilis did all this research and has been doing activism and art in this town for a long time, myself included. And I don't think that they take it the deeper step further and work with the local people who really care about this stuff.
Let's see, Paul, we had some folks from Mission San Luis a little bit ago who were talking about trying to reconnect the area more closely with, like, the Apalachee Forebears and all that. Have you talked to any of those guys out at the mission? Or?
No, I have not. It's just an amazing history. This underground cascading waterfall was a place where the Native Americans used to come, and it's been hushed up so much, I would doubt that they even knew about it. But the history is there, and, man polluted that place so bad just to offend them.
Well, I'm thinking that this may be something here for a lot of folks to maybe form another community coalition when it comes to focusing more attention on the forebears of the European settlers who came to, that whole trail of missions and the Camino Real, I think it's called, right, Carrie Post?
That's correct, the Royal Road.
Yeah, and really, in conjunction with the Department of State, you've had some experience there, I understand, and a few other things to maybe focus more attention and the art of the Native peoples. And Ann Holt out in Monticello and the people who have been working on the archaeology of this. I am seeing alarm bells going off in a good way, Paul, that maybe this is something else that we can leverage for this area to focus more attention on the people who were here before our ancestors and how awesome that would be. Thank you for bringing that up. I really appreciate
it. Thank you, too.
Okay. And that might be something else maybe for Sean McIntyre and the guys down there at North American Properties, since we're going to have some kind of a civil rights memorabilia, memorance that's going to be down there, and for the folks who were there at Cascades Park, because there was a waterfall. We had to recreate it, but by gosh, there was original. Al Latimer, did any of the stuff in this survey surprise you, since you're tracking very carefully all of the economic impacts of different kinds of business and private sector activities here in this area?
Let me just generally say that, we embrace the arts and culture community as part of our overall economic development strategy. Glad to see that it has such a strong foundation here in Tallahassee-Leon County. And it is an important part of how we grow forward. In our strategic plan, we have a strategy to better understand the creative economy, which includes arts and culture, so that we can use that, market that as a differentiating factor when, we talk to businesses outside the area that might be considering Tallahassee-Leon County as a location. So we are glad to see that it is the creative economy is taking shape. And we are getting a better understanding of it, understanding the foundations and how we can create strategies that will align and leverage all of those resources increase our ability to grow the sector.
Carrie Post, for years and years, the conventional wisdom in Tallahassee was, okay, they come for the home football games and they come for the legislative session. And then this is essentially an abandoned wilderness until the next football season or legislative thing comes. This doesn't seem to have come as a great surprise to you, though.
Not at all. And you raise a great point, because there is a misperception, if you will, that, I've heard it for years that, Tallahassee visitation is, football season and legislative session. And the fact is that the numbers just don't bear that out. We are a consistent year-round destination. And it's really odd, like a lot of coastal communities are very, split, that they have their high season and their low season, where for us, this destination, we have generally about 25% of our visitation comes each quarter of the year. I was, when I got on board, and I'm a data gal, so I like digging into the data, and it just didn't bear out that we were so seasonal, and that it really was like it may be 23% one quarter and 27% the next quarter, but we are pretty even a year-round destination. And certainly arts and culture is part of our visitor mix. And this report, which I'm very grateful for, and I do want to tip of the hat to COCA and the Department of State for, because I know they did it on the statewide perspective, and COCA had the foresight to buy into it. And data is king. So when you have a report like this that really shows how unique Tallahassee is, that we are exceeding these national averages, it just reinforces the point that there's a whole lot more to do here and a lot more that visitors, it may not be the primary reason that they come, but is it an activity that they do when they are here? Absolutely.
And the old terms of high season and shoulder season kind of come to mind right now when you look at what happens when we get into the spring leading into the summer. Things like Word of South Festival, the Southern Shakespeare Festival, the various activities of single concerts at Cascades Park and elsewhere, that this is helping to also even out our visitation when it comes to the cultural things.
Unquestionably. Events are great motivators for travel. And certainly we've got, you know, obviously our big players, you mentioned a few, Word of South, and that is it's already has a tremendous economic impact and is growing. Got Florida Jazz and Blues. You've got the Tallahassee Symphony bringing in Renee Fleming, you know, renowned talent. You know, you've got opening nights. You know, we do have some very significant cultural organizations that are absolutely, you know, bringing very high quality, very high profile events to the community that are absolutely increasing visitation in the times that we really can use it, which is not like a home football game. Our hotels are already full in home football games, but it's, you know, all the other times is where the cultural events really help to bring more visitors here.
Bob Lynch, if I could ask you, sir, when it comes to the various communities, as you said, from the smallest hamlets up to major metropolitan areas, were fodder for the survey that Americans for the Arts performed to gauge nationally the economic impact of cultural activity. What made for successful communities, if you got any of that data? What made for maybe not so successful communities?
Well, you know, at the core is having products that, you know, arts products that both Kevin and Carrie have just talked about that get built up, that get invested in, and they're year-round attractors. And so what we discover when there is that opportunity is that there are visitors that come in, and the visitors that come in, interestingly, Carrie was talking about what do they come primarily for. Well, what we discovered was that, in fact, with the 455,000 non-resident attendees that are referenced in the Leon County study, that we see that something like two-thirds of them, 69%, more than two-thirds, indicated that the primary reason that they were visiting was to attend that particular arts event. And then what's interesting is that 41% of them said that they would have traveled to a different community for a similar arts experience. So right there, you can see that if the product base of arts activities is there, has been invested in, then they will come. These visitors will come, they'll attend, and then that makes the figures higher, and that creates more success for those particular communities. But, you know, what we discovered across the country is that it's not just big cities that are successful. There are some wonderful small places that are highly successful because I had the opportunity in the last 6 years to serve on the United States Tourism Advisory Board under the Secretary of Commerce. And what we discovered there, separate from this study, was that people from overseas or in this country, they're hungry for an authentic experience, a different kind of experience. And when a community presents that kind of authenticity, perhaps even programs like Paul, talking about the Native American site and arts programs there, that kind of authentic, different experience attracts people to one community versus another. And so what we have here is not only a success story in general, but a roadmap to future success financially and from a tourism point of view for arts, for communities all across our country.
Terrific. Sundiata joins us here online, too. Thanks for your patience. Welcome to Perspectives.
Hey, thank you for having me. Exciting conversation, and I really appreciate it. I'm a urban farmer here in the city, and a couple of years back, our organization, the Tallahassee Food Network, and the I Grow Whatever You Like program had a food and art festival, and it was just a tremendous success. And one of the things I would just really love to encourage the panelists and others listening is that, as a farmer, we like to say that there is no culture without agriculture. And the connection between food and art is so strong, and I'm sure that a lot of the places that the gentleman was mentioning that are very successful probably have a lot of events centered around food as well. And so I like to encourage all of the residents in Tallahassee and folks who run organizations to do more collaboration in regards to food and art. They just go hand in hand, and when you can bring people out to enjoy good food and participate in festivities centered around painting and drawing and sculpting and things of that nature, it just creates this atmosphere that is so dynamic that it can't be outdone. So that's really what I wanted to encourage people to explore that collaboration a little bit more in our city.
Oh, thank you, Sundiata. Yeah, I've seen you lurking around some of the iGrow events there, you and Bakari McClendon and some of the other folks who were involved. We cannot forget the culinary arts, right, mm-hmm. guys?
Absolutely. It is one of the arts. And also, it reminds me of the great work being done at the Frenchtown Heritage Hub and their connection to local farmers and growers. And it also just it really reminds us that the arts are an integral partner with our community, with the entire community, including our farmers and our local culinary artists. We did a for-profit art study that actually included culinary arts. Apart from the Americans for the Arts study, we did a for-profit art study that looked at working for-profit artists in many different fields, including the culinary arts. And we showed that the impact of that sector of our economy is equally important and vibrant. And we certainly need to remember that the arts are inclusive in our community, and they're enormous when you really look at them holistically. I think there's a lot that the arts contribute back to the community, whether it's partnering with local catering companies or local farmers for their events. And we need to realize that the imprint that the arts make are truly pretty enormous in our community.
Well, while we're in your neck of the woods here, Kevin, just a quick little aside. I know that you speak of partnerships here with the private sector and mm-hmm. all of that, and the COCA is doing something here with the local Kia dealership, I think, right now.
Yes, in fact, one of our new projects that we're really excited to announce is working with Kia of Tallahassee, a filmmakers contest. So local filmmakers are encouraged to help to tell the story of our arts community. And if you're interested, if you are a local filmmaker or know a local filmmaker, we want you to submit an entry. And you can go on to our website, which is TallahasseeArts.org, for more information about the Kia Film Contest. And by the way, I'll give a little plug to that, because what we're here today talking about is the tremendous impact of the arts. And one of the things that COCA does as an organization is help to promote those arts organizations and working artists and arts businesses in our community. And you can go to TallahasseeArts.org and find out the tremendous amount of programming we have in our community, including contests like the Kia Film Contest.
What a wonderful way to transition into Dan's phone call here on line 3, because he is a local artist. Hey, Dan, how's it going?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So the I've looked at the report, and while it's not surprising, it's really, really heartening that there is such an enormous impact in our community, and even better, here we are talking about it. But we've also talked about kind of the integration of arts into everything. I'm an artist, but I also have a small business, an IT consulting company, and I serve on the board of a local nonprofit social services agency, and they're all integrated. It's all part of our community, and the fact that the arts is it has such a huge impact. It's really cool. And Kevin might be able to address, I think there was a report earlier this summer about how the Tallahassee community is one of the biggest arts buying areas in the country. You may have already addressed that, and I didn't, if I missed the first few minutes, but that was interesting too, that we're, that here we are in the news again.
Yeah, well, we hadn't addressed it yet. I'm glad you brought it up, Dan. So, Kevin, yeah, I saw that. That wasn't one that COCA did, but that
yeah,
was...
Yeah, no, it was a national... I don't remember the name of the website. Does anyone here? I don't... But there was a website that announced they did a... according to their sales records, that Tallahassee is the largest art market in the country, or one of them. Which
per capita,
was, per
yeah.
Per capita, I uh-huh. think, yeah, which was surprising and exciting news for us and for our local artists. We have a tremendous, you know, one of the things I've learned so many things since I started working at COCA, but there are so many people in our community, I think, that don't realize how tremendously vibrant our visual arts community is in Tallahassee. Dan is an artist himself. And we have so many wonderful visual artists who are out working, selling their art and showing in exhibits. And for a community of its size, I think there are so many wonderful working artists out there that we want to support. And, you know, one of the things that folks listening can do is, you know, when it comes time to the holidays and or birthdays, you know, think about an art gift. Think about, you know, supporting one of our local artists by purchasing a work of their art as a gift for the holidays, and we're, you know, we're here, and we can also connect you at COCA to those wonderful resources on our artist directory, so you can help to support the local arts economy by supporting our local artists like Dan.
Yes, you can check that directory and then pick somebody at random. Take a sculptor to lunch. That's what I say. You're listening to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. The impact of the arts on the economy of the Capital Region is our topic, and we'd love to hear from you at 414-1234 or 800-926-8809. The phone lines are lighting up, and we'll be back and take those calls in just a moment. Back on Perspectives, and a reminder, you can always find us online at WFSU.org. Just go to that website, click on radio, pull down the programs menu, and then punch up Perspectives. But gently, please, we bruise easily. We try to have all shows on within, usually by close of business day, or at least within 24 hours, because Trish gets really busy in the back there slaving away over the website. But we'll try to have the program up as quickly as possible so you can go back and listen to it in its entirety over and over and over again. Let's get to some of these calls here. Let's see. First, let's go to, we had Dan. How about Jessica, line 4? Hi, Jessica. Welcome to Perspectives.
Hi, good morning. I just would like to give a shout-out to the San Luis Mission for their contribution to the cultural arts, in that there will be a performance tonight by a Puerto Rican band, and it is free.
Oh, wonderful. What time does that kick off, Jessica? Do you know?
7:30.
7:30, a Mission San Luis. And I really miss that they had to get rid of the March of the Chihuahuas on Cinco de Mayo. That's the only thing. But, man, they do a lot of really good stuff there. Let's see. Another event comes up here on line 5 from Bill. Hi, Bill. Welcome.
Hello. How are you doing?
Hey, real good. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. I just want to give a shout-out to my favorite arts organization in Tallahassee, the Florida African Dance Festival. Over 20 years old. And they have master musicians here from the west coast of Africa who really need to be more fully financially supported. It's like having Igor Stravinsky here living in poverty. We really need to support that organization much more than we currently are. They've been around doing the same thing for 20 years. Doing a fabulous job and providing the African-American community with a deep, deep connection and restoration of our culture and consciousness and vitality as a people. I really can't say enough for the Florida African Dance Festival.
Thank you for the plug on that, Bill. And it also had one of the most awesome drum circles I have ever seen, the last festival that was in town. It was just jaw-droppingly wonderful. Al Latimer, let me just kind of throw that over your way. There is always a debate that comes up when local governments start their budgetary process, how much is going to be allocated for things like culture and the arts and all. And sometimes the money gets tight and folks have to back away from some of the commitments maybe they've had for years and years. Do things like this, and I know that, you know, lobbying local government is not your main bailiwick, but does that give maybe a little bit more ammunition for those folks to say, yeah, maybe this is a really decent investment to help the overall economic development picture of the area?
Yes. I mean, the stronger the creative economy, the arts and culture, the stronger the impression that businesses looking at this area or even businesses in this area have. In terms of economic development or it being aspect that supports job creation, the employees of those businesses like a wide variety of entertainment opportunities. And so to the extent that we as an economic development agency begins to understand, you know, all of the various facets and components of our creative economy, we'll have a better understanding of which of those in our community, needs to be supported, and which of those, quite honestly, maybe need to be enhanced, in some way.
Sure, because if an out-of-town corporation comes to this area and says, look, just for – and I know we went through this whole discussion at the legislature last year and the winners and losers and all that kind of thing. But if someone comes and says, look, for a modest tax abatement or some other inducement, we will come in, we will create jobs, we will return revenue to local governments, all that, people would jump on and go, whoa, that's a great deal. Let's move forward with it. And yet, collectively, the arts do the same thing, at least according to these numbers.
Yeah, I'll add something to what Al was saying. I think, we hear a lot of our political leaders and folks in the community talking about we want Tallahassee to be a place where, you know, we hear this live, work, play thing, live, work, visit. You know, the arts are an integral part of that equation. You know, we want a community that people want to live in, whether we want a community that businesses want to invest in. We want a community that people want to visit and come and spend time in. And I think the important part of this study shows that the arts are one of those major contributors. The arts make Tallahassee, Leon County, a place that people want to live, work, play, and visit. And I think we all need to recognize that.
Yeah, because as we heard before, an artist calls in and he is an artist, but he is not a full-time artist. He has a day job, which you – in this community anyway – must have. And there are many artists who have to support themselves financially through regular work. And that even goes to performing artists. I'm thinking there is no way you can be a full-time musician in this community and play locally. And later on, just to give you guys a little heads up here on WFSU, we're going to be talking with the folks from the soon-to-be late, great Sarah Mac Band. Oh. They are breaking up. And a lot of it has to do with economy. They cannot be full-time performers in their own hometown. They get most of their jobs in Tampa, which seems counterintuitive. But this is part of it, too, and we can have that discussion on a separate program. You need more live performance venues and all that. As a matter of fact, Bruce has something to say about that. He's calling us in on line two. Hey, Bruce, thanks for giving us a ring. Hello, Bruce. He may have dropped. Yeah, he's been hanging on for a little bit. He wanted to talk about the history of attempting to get a performing arts center. We remember what that conversation was like, and that got to be very controversial and all. Should the community spend money on that kind of a facility, and would there be a return on that investment? And it looks like it would be, Carrie. I don't know. We don't want to revisit this controversy, but the numbers prove that an investment in the arts produces at least a viable return.
That's an interesting question. I'd say yes. I mean, like I said, I'm all about data, and I think having a report that shows, so it's not speculation anymore. There's a third party, Americans for the Arts, certainly is a very credible organization that says, yes, here's some local data. I think that's good. I don't know if I'd go so far as to take a leap to say, you know, to the investment required to build and operate a performing arts center.
Which is considerable. Yes, millions of dollars.
So I'm one of, we have a lot of organizations right now that I think this report shows that, and certainly we have data from our research from a visitor tourism standpoint, that we know arts are growing in this area, no doubt about it, and COCA's done a great job. But I think there's also a lot of organizations that are still struggling, Sarah Mac Band, for example. So I think there's perhaps more to be done to, you know, help cultivate the existing organizations before a significant public investment and private. And that's frankly, as we know, as a community, and it absolutely impacts all of our nonprofit sectors, organizations, is we don't have the private companies here to provide the private investment that a more urban, you know, community does. So that's kind of a constraint for kind of growing our, you know, cultural community. And I would say public investment is not the only answer. There has to be the private investment that, while we're growing, I'm not sure we're to that level yet.
Okay, quickly, let me get Bob Lynch in, because we mentioned your survey. And again, 341 communities that you looked at here, Bob, and your survey. And how significant is that contribution of having major private sector underwriting or support for the arts overall, and not just relying on ticket sales and some government subsidy here?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, this is a great conversation, and I love all the input of the callers and have ideas on everything that they've said. But to this particular point, when we took a look at where the money comes from for the arts in America, we discovered that for the nonprofit arts alone, and that's all we're talking about in this study, and there's a lot of other for-profit arts activities that have even been referenced on this call, but for the nonprofit arts alone, 60% of the money comes from earned income. That means people paying something for a ticket or admission to something. 30% comes from the private sector, and right now mostly that's individuals with corporate and foundations also in there, but not as significant as the individuals. And then the last 10% comes from government, with most of it being local government, then federal, then state, and then federal. So you see that it's a financial ecosystem that takes a lot of different kinds of investments, each one important, each one leveraging another. But to the point that was brought up about investment at the local level, one of the things that is significant is not only what you see in this study, but the fact that our partners and our endorsers of this national study include the United States Conference of Mayors, the League of Cities, the National Association of Counties, as well as lieutenant governors at the state level and private sector organizations like the Committee to Encourage Corporate Philanthropy, business leaders. They all see this as important evidence that investment in the arts is good for the community, good for the arts, but also good for the economy, and therefore more investment has a bigger payoff. So we're very excited about that. And one other thing, I'll just go back to the urban farmer call. You know, when I mentioned that on the national average, that the average per person audience expenditure is $31.40, you see that comes from many, many sources, but more than half of it comes from food. It comes from meals and refreshments and what is produced by those farmers. So that is a big payoff there. And then what happens is, you know, we'll see at city council meetings arts people coming in, but other people like farmers and like business people and like military folks, all of whom are part of that arts and other things ecosystem, that are saying, hey, the arts are important in my life for a variety of reasons, including economic, including what the arts are themselves, or other issues like, you know, healing, for example, in the case of the military leaders. So it's this study is just part of the package that's talking about why the arts are a good investment by communities, by states, and by federal government.
Yeah, it sounds almost like a spider web the way that all this interconnects here. Very quickly, Bruce is back here about the that performing arts thing. Hey, Bruce.
Hello, Tom.
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
I'm sorry, I had my iPhone set on the wrong setting there for speaker, but I could hear you. You couldn't hear me. I just wanted to mention that there's a, in addition to the economic benefits that would come to the community through a you know, a performing arts center or a public center where, you know, productions could take place and practices and things of this nature and music and visual art and everything. This has got a long time community support in Tallahassee that I don't know if a lot of the Tallahasseans of the present day are aware of. I mean, it goes back well before my time, but in the early 80s, there was an attempt to renovate the State Theater, which was then being proposed for construction over on College Avenue. It's since long gone. But I approached a woman by the name of Clifton Lewis, who was very active in the community at the time, and about a performing arts center, actually a what we call the Greater Leon Arts and Activity Center, that would be for local groups of all artistic nature. And there were some people involved in that. Wanda Kelly, I remember, of the Kelly Sheet Metal out on Capitol Circle Southwest, and the Tallahassee Ballet, and my group, Asylum Theater, which was a performing arts group. And there's just, you know, we got the old Leon County Library, which was over next to the parks in downtown Tallahassee, the old library. We got that from the county commission. They allowed us to use it. We had $1 a year rental payment, and it was open to the top floor was the Tallahassee Ballet, and then other rooms, and on the other floors there were other groups who utilized the space. And there's just a tremendous amount in a long-term community support for this kind of thing, and I've never really understood why it didn't continue or didn't go forward, because there are so many people in Tallahassee that would like to see this succeed.
Well, I'll tell you, Bruce, if I have a feeling that conversation is not over, and particularly based on what we now know in some hard figures as a result of the study that Bob's organization helped to pass along to COCA. Now they have some data on the local side. You had mentioned, though, the old State Theater. Well, there's one community near Tallahassee that still has its original theater. It used to be called The Leaf. And let's join Lucy here on line 3. Thanks again, Bruce, because she's over in Gadsden County where The Leaf is. Hey, Lucy.
Hi. Thank you so much. There's a lot going on in Gadsden County, and I just wanted to have people understand that the idea of the arts community is broader than just Tallahassee and Leon County. We have the Leaf Theater, which is commonly known as the Quincy Music Theater. They do amazing performances there. There's the Gadsden Arts Center, which is now nationally accredited. It's the 34th small art museum accredited in the entire nation. And we have the University of Florida Extension facility out there that hosts, in the fall, they host an art and garden event. And then don't forget the Red Hill Small Farm Alliance that draws in the farmers and the culinary side. So we've got a whole lot going on in this area besides, you know, in addition to Tallahassee and Leon County.
Well, thank you, Lucy. And I understand the Quincy Music Theater has a new executive director, to a gentleman who used to work for the Havana Herald, if I'm not mistaken. So
yes, I think there are good things ahead for that organization. They're looking to, I believe, have more frequent events there than they had in the past. And there's a lot of energy building in Quincy.
Well, and again, if you see Byron Spires, please tell him we send our regards, okay?
I will do it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lucy. Just a few moments here to go, and what we'll have to do is say goodbye to everybody. We could continue this for another probably 2 or 3 hours here on Perspectives, folks. A lot of things going on with the arts in our area and a lot of impact there. Bob Lynch, President, CEO of Americans for the Arts, joining us by phone. Thank you so much for your instrument, sir, and what it has done to show a lot is going on in the arts locally. Kevin Carr from COCA, Carrie Post from Visit Tallahassee, and Al Latimer from the Tallahassee Leon County Office of Economic Vitality. Thank you guys for coming in on Perspectives.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Produced by WFSU-FM in Tallahassee, of course, Taylor Cox and Lydell Rawls on the phone and internet connection. I'm Tom Flanagan. A lot of organizations say they do what they do for the children. Well, we're going to meet some folks who do exactly that in their roles with the Children's Home Society coming up next week right here on Perspectives. See you then.
Copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcast. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.